Somebody asked me one time, Kelly, when you're preparing a sermon, how do you do it? I was like, I don't know. I'm a youth minister. So thanks, Matt. But I say I start with the scripture and I go through the scripture and I end up, with Jesus. And they asked me, well, can you do that in the Old Testament? And I go, that's the best place to do it because the Bible's about Jesus. You know, it's about someone coming to take care of our sins for us. And that's pretty much the Old Testament. And you get to the Gospels. Someone is here. You know, someone is here. That's Jesus. You know, and then after that, you have the epistles and some other books. And that is pretty much, I'm coming back. Church, if you were here on Friday, we talked about our focus. How our focus needs to be on eternity more than on our temporary. Because there is a cross of rejection, a cross of reception, and a cross of redemption. And you're going to choose one of those. But today I want to talk about the cross, and I want to talk about the forgiveness that comes with the new life that we have when we're in Christ. Because the tomb was empty. Death has been beaten. That's why we get excited. I just heard recently a guy talking. He's a pastor, and he says, should Christians celebrate Easter one day a year? That's a trick question, because we celebrate the risen Savior every day, because that is our life. That is our identity. That is who we are. If he didn't die, and if he didn't come back to life 3 days later, we're wasting our time. But we know and we have faith that the tomb was empty. Nobody slipped in there and took the body away, which would be almost an impossible feat with all the things that you would have to do. We believe that Jesus died and rose again, and he appeared to people over 40 days before he ascended. That's our God. That's our hope. That's our faith. So today I want to talk about the cross and the forgiveness that we can have in that. And there's hope in that too. Several years ago, I was driving by myself about 10 hours away from my parents, which was kind of freeing. But I was in my grandparents' town, and I was driving in this 6-lane road that went through there. It seemed kind of wide for such a small town, but I was driving through there, and I saw a stoplight up in front of me, and it had just turned yellow. So what do? You step on the gas. That's right. I did that. I was young, and I was a little bit dumb. Stepped on the gas, got up there. I'm in the middle lane, got up there. I noticed to the side of me and to the other side of me, there were two cops sitting there. So what did I do? I put on my brakes and I slid to a stop right between them. I didn't go over the line, but right between them. I looked over to the cop and he looked at me and he went, safe. looked at the other cop and he was dying laughing. It's interesting why I did that. As I think back on things like that, I realize that those policemen declared something to me. They declared that I would be losing money if I went through that light. I would be getting a ticket. And I think today, the cross of Jesus declares certain things too. It declares our freedom, it declares our forgiveness, and it declares our hope. But the cross also declares, here it is, get ready for the frown, that we're also sinners. We are not good people. We are selfish. We are sinners. We are prideful. We are sinners. Great, I came to church and I learned I was a sinner. You know what? That's who we are. Kelly, why can you smile when you talk about being bad? Well, Romans 3 tells us that no one is righteous, not one. How can you smile with that? that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. How can you smile about that? It's because of the cross. I don't like to hear that I'm a sinner. Well, geez, you sure say it a lot. Yeah, but I'm not listening all the time. Okay, I am. My voice is kind of loud. I like to think of myself as a nice person. Person that's fun to be around. And if it weren't for the cross, I might be able to convince myself I'm not such a bad person. But like I talked about, the Old Testament, the law, do you know why we have the law? Well, I could talk about all the rules there, and that's true. You could have all the rules, and you could do all these things, and you still will be not righteous. We have the law so that we can know that we are, in fact, sinners. But you know why else we have the law? To show our need for a Savior. Kelly, that's just a crutch. You know, I don't believe so. I don't believe so. Well, if you give your life to Christ, then you're kind of selling out a little bit. I want to keep my freedom. You're not free. You're shackled with the chain of sin. Do you want to be free? Do you want to know true freedom? Realize you're a sinner. Realize that you're shackled. Realize that you can't do it by yourself. Kelly, I can do it by myself. Then why do you have all your friends? Why do you have your job that you throw 90 hours into a week? Why do you have all your toys that you do this and this and this? Because you're not satisfied. You're not satisfied with this world. Because let me tell you something. The cross shows us that you can work and you can work and you can work and you can work. And you know what? You're never going to be full. You're just going to be tired. Because enough is not enough. But when you come to the cross and you stand before the cross, you see that you are satisfied because the cross just fits. Then all of a sudden, your work has meaning. Your life has a purpose and you walk forward. And I say, church, that all starts with realizing that we're not perfect, that we are not good enough. There was an Indianapolis patrolman, I don't know why I have all these stories today about cops. And this isn't me getting out of a ticket either. But there was this patrolman that was at a scene of an accident, and there was a drunk driving accident that had happened. And he did all the paperwork, and he was getting the person to sign it that had committed the accident. And he turned away for a second because he heard something. And he looked back, and the slip of paper that they were supposed to sign, the report, if you will, was off of the clipboard and in the person's mouth. And they were chewing it. And then they swallowed it and it was gone. Guess that's wiped away, right? The cop didn't even blink. Started doing all the work over again. Went through, got all the estimates, did all the things. This was what had happened. When you're a sinner, you're going to be held accountable for what you've done. No matter what you can do to try to get out of it, it's going to help you. See, we like to hide our sins from people. I mean, I think we do that in a couple ways. The first one is we make excuses for our sin. And the favorite one is, right now, going around is, that's just the way I am. God created me that way. And I'm like, thanks, Ted. I was like, what? My God didn't create us that way. We perverted His creation. We changed it. We modified it to make it fit what we want to do. Paul in Romans 1 calls it our desires. We wanted to come out. So we make excuses. That's just who I am. That's just the way I'm going to be. Number two, we point at the other person and we cry, well, they are guilty too. This has been going on since the beginning, Adam and Eve. Adam, what'd you do? Well, Eve made me do it. How many of you guys have brothers and sisters? How many of you pointed at them? You know what I'm Susan's like that. And I got them in trouble too. My sister would blame me, and I was away at college. You know? And I don't know how that even works. But we try to do things like that. Or we compare ourselves, number three, to somebody else. We go, well, I'm not as bad as so-and-so. Or I'm as good as so-and-so. But the number one way in which we try to deal with our guilt is to outweigh it with good deeds. Some cartoon theologian has taught us that on one side there's an angel, and on the other side there's a demon. And they're fighting for us, or they're keeping tally points of the good things that we do and the bad things that we do, and we try not to tip the scale. Let me tell you something. That's a lie. That's a lie. Because if we're trying to balance the scale would look like this. Bad. Because there's no one righteous. If you don't know Christ, you can't be considered righteous. Romans 6:23 tells us, for the wages of sin is death. And that also tells us not only that we're sinners and that we deserve hell, but there has to be a price paid for our sin. There has to be a price paid. That's why we're here this morning. That's why Easter is a special thing. That's why we have banners up. Hallelujah! He is risen! Because if that didn't happen, we're still sinners. If that didn't happen, the price would not have been paid. What do I mean? Well, we have to go back to the Old Testament. God drove into the minds of his people in the Old Testament with his strict requirements of animal sacrifice. If you sin, you have to go before the priest and you have to bring a perfect offering. And that has to be done. Wow. That's a price. Because you're not supposed to bring the junk animals. You're supposed to bring the best. You're supposed to bring the best. There was this. I heard this pastor talking about this, where he said a guy had brought an animal before the priest, and the priest cut open the lamb and looked inside, and the liver was diseased. Not good enough. That was one animal gone. Went home and got another. Came back. Same thing. Third time's a charm, right? Went home and got another. I mean, we're talking good-looking animals. Got another one, opened it up, diseased. He realized what they were feeding them was causing a disease. How are they gonna get righteous? How are they gonna get rid of their sin? He had an idea. There was a lamb that had not eaten of that food. It was their child's pet. Went in to the grabbed this lamb that was eating from the table, took it, sacrificed it. It makes it a little more real when it's something personal like that. The only animal was the close animal, a family member. But the price had to be paid, a terrible price. Good Friday was that price. Because the message of the cross is hope. Because the cross declares to us that God loves us. Loves us enough to pay that price. John 3:16. Does anybody know that verse? For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only, who? Son. That's Jesus. That's love. That's why John the Baptist declares, behold, the Lamb of God takes away our sin has come into the world. There was a poet that once said, You may know this too. He paid a debt he did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away, and now I sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace. Christ Jesus paid a debt I could never pay. There was a man, and he was at the Passion Play. Anybody ever been to the Passion Play down in Eureka Springs? Is that where it's kind of at? Oh, you didn't go the good one then. I'm just kidding. Pretty much the same thing. But this businessman was there, and he was excited. He saw this play. He was overrun with emotion and with joy seeing Christ die on the cross. That he went back after the play was over, backstage, if you will, and he saw the man who carried the cross, and he saw the cross, and he was just overcome. And he handed his camera to Jesus, the character Jesus, and said, take a picture and watch me carry my cross. And he reached down, and Jesus couldn't stop him. And he went to pick up the cross, and he couldn't pick it up. It was heavy. It was heavy. And he strained, and he mustered, and he goes, how do you carry this as an actor? I thought this was hollow. He goes, if I couldn't feel the weight of the cross, I couldn't play the part. Church, there's a weight to the cross. It's not just two sticks of wood that we put together and varnish. Guess that one's not varnished, but you know what I'm saying. Decorate it, bring it up at Easter. That's an instrument of torture. If this would have happened a few years later, we would have an electric chair sitting over here. Or a picture of a needle. Lethal injection or a hangman's noose. Guess we could put purple around that too. But it's what happened on the cross. Jesus took our sin. All of our sin. Let me tell you, you guys have walked with sin. And you felt the guilt and the regret and the embarrassment. Imagine if you took everybody's guilt, everybody's embarrassment, everybody's regret, and you carried it. Cross gets pretty heavy. And you went to the cross. And you died. I think unless we feel this weight that Jesus bore, we'll never fully understand the true meaning of Easter. One more thing the cross declares, and this is why we're here, is by Christ's death, we are freed from sin. If you want to turn in your Bibles with me to Romans 6, and I'm just going to read a few verses. It'll be on the screen too, because Tim's back there and he's good at that. Had to make him smile today. We'll start with verse 1. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? Have you guys ever thought that before? Can I just have more grace and I'll just give you more sin? It doesn't work like that. By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Well, stop you again. When you're free, when you're forgiven, man, you're free. You're forgiven. You're not living in your sin anymore. I'm not living in my sin anymore. It's not Kelly that God sees. It's the image of His Son that's stained upon my soul. That's who God sees. Thank goodness. I'll keep reading. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? There's that identity. We're identifying with Christ. When we go down into the water, we're dead. There's a symbolism in that baptism. That's why we immerse here at the Morningside Church of Christ. We go down into death, just like Jesus went down into death. We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in a newness of life. We go down. And sometimes as a pastor, I just want to make sure people are down, that they die to themselves. But you know what happens next? We come back to life. We come back to life. We get to walk in the newness of life. Jesus went to the grave. And on this day, so many years ago, they went to the grave, and guess who they saw? They saw an angel. Don't be afraid. He's not here. He has risen. He has risen from the dead. Church, we can identify with that. We can go, we can die to our sins and come back to life. Newness in Christ. For if we have been united with him in death like this, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like this. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free. Now if we have died with Christ, we believe that we also live with him. We are with him. We walk with him. We talk with him. He is our God. He has set us free. That is our hope. And you know what that tells us? Here's a big church word for you. We're justified. You know what that means? Just as if we had never had sinned. It's a little deeper than that, but you get the point. That means when God looks at us, get this, that he looks at us and sees people who are righteous. People who have no sin. That's us, church. When you take the name Christian and you're baptized into his death and you come back to life, you know what you have? Not just a new start. You have a new way of life. Paul calls it the new and living way. Now we're here on Easter morning. The Sunday after the Friday where Jesus dies a horrible death. What do we find? What do we see? We find an empty tomb, and we see a risen Savior and a chance for a new life, to start again ourselves clean, white as snow. Church, it's something that we live in. And it's all because of the cross. It's a way we conduct ourselves. It's a way that we see the world. It's a way that we see the world. And church, I'm going to give you a hint of the Christian life. If you don't look at our world and get a little bit upset, if you don't look at the world and it breaks your heart, you're missing something. If you don't see the world through the eyes of Jesus, broken, lost, I don't think you understand the weight of the cross. If you don't wake up in the morning because of the hope and because of the life that you have in Jesus, you're missing the point. I'm a little bit weird. When I first accepted Christ, you know where I wanted to be? I wanted to be a church. I'm not saying you have to be a church, but that's where I wanted to be. I wanted to be with my friends. I wanted to be with my family. I wanted to go to camp. I wanted to go to different places where Christ was proclaimed, because I wanted to meet my brothers and sisters. Because they're my family. I like to spend time with Christians. Call me weird. I enjoy our life group that we have. We get to laugh. We get to be serious. We get to study. But we're together. And we're doing it. I love church. I love talking at church. I love preaching the gospel. Why? Because we're together. We're together. And Christ has to be proclaimed. We need to put to death our old life. And we need to put on our new identity, which is found in Christ. And let me ask you this question. Are you united with Him in His death? Oh, and here's the good part. And His resurrection. So many times, church, we talk about His death. His death. His death. His death. And there's hope in that. But man, after I die on this world, there's more to life. There's eternal life there because of the resurrection. Have you been born again? Have you been set free to live a life marked by the Holy Spirit? If not, it's time to start doing so. Church, it's time that we put our old self behind, our selfish desires behind, and focus on the cross. Let me tell you, the cross is empty. The tomb is empty. Let's focus on our Savior. He's given us life. He's given us the Spirit to lead and to guide us. Where are you at today? Can you truly proclaim with your life that He is risen from the dead? That's my challenge for you. The tomb is empty. Let's pray. Father, we just thank You, Lord, for this Easter resurrection season where Christ is being talked about more and more because of this holiday. And we celebrate that holiday. But not just today, every day, He has risen. He has changed us, and He has transformed us, and He's going to continue to do that as He sanctifies us. Father, we thank You for the cross. We thank You for its message and the things that it declares to us. It shows us that we're sinners in need of a Savior. But it also shows us the sacrifice and the forgiveness that we can have because of what had happened there. You are an amazing God. A God that is way smarter than we are. But it is a God that You look down at us, You see us suffering, You see us hurt, and You call us out of that suffering and that hurt and that despair, and You lead us to where we need to be. You lead us to the cross. But You also lead us to Jesus, the glorious one, who came from heaven to earth to die for us. And today, Lord, we celebrate that, and we thank You for that. Show us how to live the new life. Give us the courage to make a stand today and to stand firm in the hope and the blessings that come from the cross. It's in Your name I pray. Amen.